Blog Talk Radio.
I've been lying here, thinking about the day we met, the day forever. How much time we've got left, I find myself crying my eyes out. I gotta make you believe in me without one doubt. I'm gonna make a path my last regret, because regret
Welcome, everybody. Hi, I am Luann Fleming. Welcome to another Blog Talk Radio show on Hidden Truth Revealed channel, The Inside Scoop, Faces Radio. I'm Luann Fleming, and my co-host tonight is Marcy Friedman and Hillary Hoag. Today is August 1st. It's another month, everybody, fresh, clean month, and we're having a roundtable discussion tonight on a very serious matter, and this is on elder isolation. And I know that many families, even on our show tonight with our co-hosts, they have a family member that is in isolation through guardianship. So it's a very important topic. So the isolation of the elderly leads to an increased risk for depression, cognitive decline, and dementia, and even premature death. A few scenarios justify the abusive, cruel isolation so often seen in guardianship. So we're going to be talking about that. We encourage people to call in and ask questions or make a comment. And all you have to do is press a 1, and you can join us live. You'll be on the air with us. And also, we want to talk a little bit about the guardianship. And it, you can feel, you know, feelings of loneliness, of isolation can lead to serious consequences for senior health. Only public outrage has a chance of enforcing reforms. We've seen it for ourselves all too many times by guardians. And these are unethical guardians that I'm talking about. We do have some really good guardians. You know, for one, I'm a great guardian to my mother, and so is my sister Ruth. So I'm just saying that we have a really hard time thinking about how our elders could be forced into a guardianship. I'm telling you, listeners, this happens every day. I get complaints about guardianship abuse and the isolation to our elders. So tonight, roundtable discussion, feel free to call in whenever you like. I'd like to have you join us about this very important topic. Anyway, I'm going to be bringing Marcy on. Marcy, are you with me?
Yep, I'm here. And thank
Good.
You, Luann, for having me on the show again. And we're really educating everyone of this isolation, that it also...
You're fading out.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. And also the
causes... Fading out again.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes, please, yes.
Okay. It decompensates the victim. Mm-hmm. It does, they lose the ability to maintain normal or appropriate psychological defense.
We're starting to lose you again. Can you go
okay.
ahead and try to fix that? Go ahead and try to fix that connection if you can.
How is this? Is this better?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. What it does, they lose the ability to maintain normal or appropriate psychological defenses. In the few times that I was able to see my mom, I could see her shoulders were down and she looked depressed. when I found her, it took her a little while for her to realize that I was there. It causes them depression, anxiety. It can also cause them delusions. And my mother in particular was a very social person and very independent. And that she never, when she lived in her beautiful apartment on the ocean, she kept her doors open and all her friends were around and they would open, they'd knock on the door, come in, they would visit with each other, bring each other the Cuban coffee or desserts. And that and she loved the ocean. And now through this unbelievable isolation, my mom went from a beautiful lobby to going through a garage in a room. And that's very depressive. I mean, I'm there an hour and I was feeling depressed and dark. And it's just whether it's my mother or whoever is going through this, it's criminal. And it's unlawful, and the reason why they deprive them and isolate them is for their own reasons, in order, I believe, to capital gains and control, because I can't imagine anybody else doing that to an elderly. And then they also use the mental incapacities to... they don't remember from one day to the next, so they use that too for mental torture, and it's a very sad thing. And I definitely see huge changes in my mom. I mean, it's very sad, and this is illegal, and it should not be happening.
I absolutely agree. We're gonna bring Hillary on with us also. She's another co-host with us. Let me get Hillary on.
Hi, how are you, Luann? Hi, I'm here.
Hi, how you doing? I know this is a very important topic to you as well, because you've also have had the same similar circumstances.
Definitely. I mean, my dad is lucky enough that he's back home with me, but for 6 months, I mean, he was isolated in his mind. He was back with us, but... he was so worried that he would be appointed a professional guardian who would decide everything. I mean, from soup to nuts, where he would live, what he could, what he couldn't do, who he could see. So, I mean, isolation is it's catastrophic what it does to people.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I had my mom. My mom was in pure isolation, and I hear so many complaints, and it just boggles my mind that we cannot get enough.
Terrible.
Right, we can't get enough national attention on this serious problem we're having, and I'm not sure if we did any of this ourselves, we would be in trouble. Okay.
Right.
I'm just saying that we need some national attention on this. I'm not sure exactly what we can do as a group of people. I mean. Yeah, I've been reading all kinds of statements today on – actually, I Googled it, and I couldn't believe how much elder issues there are. You know, hashtag elder abuse, period. And it's amazing of the stories that I have read on there about elder abuse. Why is this happening in the United States? Why is this happening at all? I mean, I have my mom right now in one of the best 10% top nursing homes in the United States, called the Summit Rehabilitation and Care Community. It is top-notch. And I do not understand why these courts cannot put, you know, the elderly people in the right hands. You know, if they have an abusive family member, they need to get it out of there. They need to put them into a family member that's going to be caring and loving to that mother or dad. Or they need to put them into assisted living with the family agreeing on where this person should go. I mean, they should never have a guardian who is totally in charge, who does not care about our parents, totally in charge of someone. They have no idea what that person is about. I mean, to me, this is a public outrage, you know.
It is. And you know what my take on it is that the judges They need to put more into their job. The investigation, a lot of them, they don't even speak to these wards. They don't do investigating to see what they want or what would be best for them. They just listen to the attorneys, and that's it. Case closed.
Right.
When our mothers, fathers, whoever it is, they have a right to say, look, this is what I want. Period, the end. There should be no debating as long as it's a safe situation.
As long as they're in the right mind, because my mom had a will, and she never intended to move. That apartment was coming to me, and I said that to the first judge, and he goes, I think I'll sell it. And I thought, something smells really fishy here. How can he do that? My mom stated it, but it wasn't until she wasn't in her right mind that, and then they took her with a 3 weeks period. You know, they told her she was going for 3 weeks, and she was calling me and telling me she wanted to come home. No, they already had somebody in there. And those people didn't want to lose their jobs. You think they want to lose their job? No. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, how can you be incapacitated for one thing and not the other? That is bull crap. Okay?
Well,
if you can't handle your finances,
then
that means you can't handle anything else. That is really weird. But they did it because the end result, isolation, liquidation, and exploitation. And all these cases last between, you know, up to 3 or 4 years, and they continue to milk the cow. And you know what? And then when they become already that incapacitated, they don't realize it. They do. They go in and out of delusion. You know, they get elusive and then they get unelusive. And the reason why they don't let them come to, they don't want them to be with their own daughter, the one that they bear from their belly, because they never want to leave. And they lose out on their money. That's why.
Another thing is the control. The control that
they'll
get angry at their siblings or something, and then they want to control that parent just to get even. Like, they use them as a weapon. And I used to say that about my brother. He used to do that with his girlfriend to my mom. But, you know, that's just not cool. Well, that's just the worst thing. And I'm going to read this article to you, and it was called Social Isolation May Rise Death. Well, okay, let me start this over, okay? Social isolation may raise death risk for elderly. And it talks about, and it's by WebMD, and you can Google it. And it talks about elderly people who are socially isolated and lonely may be at a greater risk for early death. And it says lack of social contact might be an even bigger risk factor that loneliness, they added. Now, come on. We all know that when a person has dementia, and I have that with my own mom, isolation is the worst torture for anybody, let alone without dementia. I have witnessed it. I have seen it. And I tell you what, I am going to do everything in my power to get this out to the, you know, to the listeners, to the nation, or whatever it takes, you know, to talk about this, because you know what? This is wrong. This is seriously wrong. I also have, you might want to Google that. It's called WebMD, and it was by Steven Reinberg. And I'm hopefully I can get him on our show one day, you know, to go ahead and talk about this. But since I've had this show up, I've had 4 different people send me isolation issues. And it's like, oh, my God, this is just too unreal. Kiri, now, was your dad wasn't isolated, right?
Well, excuse me. He was isolated in the sense that my sister kidnapped him. And my sister kidnapped my dad and kept him for a few weeks to isolate him and more than likely over-medicate him so that when the examining committee members came to the house, that he would be really out of it and he would fail the test that they give. But what I like to say is, of course, our family members are isolated and we know the corruption, we know the crime, we're fighting it on a daily basis. But I'm isolated as well. And I know other victims that are isolated. We've either lost our parents, we've been through such a traumatic experience that I don't want to leave my house as much anymore. I don't want to socialize. I don't want to talk to anyone unless they've been involved in some sort of nightmare. And hopefully they haven't, but I don't feel comfortable. I don't trust anyone anymore. So in that sense, a lot of us are isolated as well as our parents, you know?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I just found another article that was sent to me on Facebook, and it's called 20 Facts About Senior Isolation That Will Stun You. And you can Google it. I'm going to actually put it on our website, or on our main website, our website, www.faceus.org. That's FACEUS.org, Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards. And I'm also going to paste it on our Facebook page. But it talks about the 20 facts about senior isolation that I'll send you, and it talks about the senior isolation, and it's the statistics. And it says senior isolation increases the risk of mortality. Feelings of loneliness can negatively affect both physical and mental health. It can be perceived loneliness contributes to cognitive decline and risk of dementia. Social isolation makes seniors more vulnerable to elder abuse. Then it talks about the seniors is linked to long-term illness. Now, all these court people know this could happen, and I do not understand why we do not have tougher laws. And remember, this article goes on for 20 things that will stun you about seniors being isolated, and we should even be discussing this. I mean, this is a topic that is these are the people that worked to save our country. A lot of these are our elderly people that work to save their money for their children, which they're not allowed to give to their children anymore because we have some really unethical attorneys that see it for themselves. They want it to keep it. They see a jackpot of money. They're going to go after it. And I think this is seriously wrong, and we have a national outcry on this issue. But I really want to talk about what we can do, you know, to get this out into the open. I mean, besides talk to everybody you talk to, your dentist, you know, your eye doctors, everybody. I mean, what can we do to stop this? This is our elderly people. I mean, if you want to question or comment, you can do that by calling into this phone. Use your phone number. Use your phone, 845-241-9962. You can press a 1, and they'll let me know that you want to speak live on the air. And that's 845-241-9962. Press a 1, and I'll get you into the studio as soon as I can. But I think this is a very important topic, and I'm going to be doing more shows on this, you know, in the future. I'm hoping to get on a couple journalists that have written articles on this to talk about their articles. So it's going to be
Time Magazine.
Yes, Time Magazine has done one too.
One last week. And I also, Luann, looked up about how the ADA regulations restricts the solitary confinement for people with mental disabilities. And it's within the ADA, it's also very, very illegal because it emphasizes the toxic effects of solitary confinement for people with mental illness. So anybody with any type of mental disability, which in some cases, as we know it, they try to hide it in order for them to continue getting away with the abuse, it is against the law.
So if anybody is out there listening to the show, and if you do have any laws about elderly isolation, I want to hear it on this radio show, and then I'll pass it around to all the advocates that I know of, because we want to be able to share this with as many people as we can. If people go to court, we want to be able to present this to the court, to the judge, to talk about how isolation should not be tolerated whatsoever. I know there were some people that had laws, and some people had some bills that came out. I think it was a Catherine Falk came out with a guardianship abuse, you know, stuff that she was going around in each state. I hope it goes into every damn state there is. Anybody that's willing to put in a law or get the laws enforced about stopping the isolation, I'm all for it, okay? Our group is all for it. So if you have any questions or comments, please call in. We have a full board tonight, everybody, and this is exciting because people are listening and people are willing to help with this. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take in the first caller. That's a 720 number. Okay, 720 number, you're on the air live with Face Up.
Hi, it's Beth.
Uh-huh. Hi, Beth.
Lulu, Hi, Marcy. I've seen you guys' things up on the Face Us Facebook group, and I've been wanting to listen to your shows for a long time, but I've had choir practice every single Wednesday, and I wanted to get my dose of Face Us in before choir decides to take over. So I wanted to say about the senior isolation thing,
right.
I think we could take a lesson from we not only need laws, but we also need to kind of change a bit of elements of our culture, because Americans are so obsessed with, I can do it on my own, I am my own man, and when you get old, no one thinks about what could happen when you get old. Because when you're older, you need the support of friends and family more than ever, but Americans don't think about that very often. So I think we could take a lesson from, A, the Japanese have the oldest people in the world. They have centenarians who are like, what, 115 years old by now? And there are 70-year-olds who are living together in houses just like their own little apartment and everything, and they just live together and they're friends, and, you know, they're very collective, and they're very, I don't want to say we should change our whole culture to being collective, but I think we could change a few aspects of it to accommodate the elderly, not just laws, because laws will do one thing, but then you have to worry about what are people going to say, what's the reaction going to be. Oh, so I can't isolate somebody. Okay. But you know, people honestly are in this little mentality that Americans are all about, oh, it's my own man. I know that when, for instance, being blind, I need the help of other people to, say, fill out job applications if I were to do that.
Right.
And everyone else would say, oh, do it on your own. But unfortunately, there are a lot of inaccessible resume builder type websites that make you like fill out these different things, and sometimes they have CAPTCHAs, which are not accessible. You need help with that kind of stuff, and
right.
Sometimes you need help.
I can see Beth.
Yeah.
I can see Beth where we need to help our elders. They do need help. I mean, my mom needed help,
yeah.
And I was there to help her. I've helped her my whole life with everything.
Yeah.
What is not? I was just so grateful to help my mom, and I wanted her to live her golden years with her children, with her money, with her own property. But the probate courts got involved and they took it all for themselves. And my question to you is that you mentioned another I think it was Japanese. Did you say it was?
Japanese elders.
Right. In China, I was told that they have the elderly people living with family member, and they get fined. These people get a fine, or they have to go to court when they don't take care of their parents. So I think that would, you know, if that was something mandatory that we had to start doing, is that we had to make sure our parents were well taken care of, I think that would be the first thing we have to change in the United States, is we must look after our elderly, period.
I do that
automatically. You know,
we
I
must
do that.
Do that.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Like, go ahead, Marcy. I think Marcy
But see, in our cases though, it's I went to protect my mom. My mom had a will with my dad. Her money was in my name and her name and my dad's name. Everything was in order. I just wanted to protect her because she was displaying symptoms of this delusion, her, you know, all the symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. But I was there, and I was always there. And since I was the one, by my God-given rights, just like Luann, it's our parents, I was there. The problem is that my parents, we didn't know that a will would be overrided. She didn't know that her daughter would be taken away. So I think they protect themselves. My parents did. But according to the laws in the courts, they just don't want to admit that they are mentally incapacitated. And I don't know what happened. Something went wrong along the way, and I really don't know, but it ended up on isolation, just like Luann's mom.
And you know what, Marcy? We talk a lot about this issue. Why? Because my parents, we had trust, we had wills, we had power of attorney, we had it all. You know what? They didn't care what we had. They didn't care we had, my mom and dad wanted to keep their property for the grandkids. They didn't, the courts didn't care if we had 5 properties paid for. They didn't care where my, in fact, our public administrator kept telling me how they wanted to put my mom in estate-assisted living. Why should she have to go there when she had millions of dollars? I fought that.
Because they don't want her money. They don't want her having her money or you. They want it.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing.
That's the problem.
I think that happens a lot to older Hollywood stars, if you think about it. Like, once you've been famous for a good long number of years, and or if you're a billionaire, like in the case of Lulu's mom, once you grow older, you become a target.
That's it.
And you got a target on your back.
And I noticed a lot of it is the widowed family members. I tell you, every case I get into, our group is a widowed family member or a disabled person that can't read or write or can't speak or have a brain tumor. These are the vulnerable people that are being targeted, and I think that's criminal. I mean, that is, to me, is sickening, you know, and I get really pissed off thinking about this because of what happened to my family members. But then I hear this every day. I hear 5
every
cases
day
on Facebook every single day. I hear it, how my parents going through the same thing. How could this be happening? You know, this is supposed to be the land of the free, home of the brave, you know,
and we should be taking care of ourselves and our elders, too. I mean, happened to taking care? You know, honestly, I noticed that, and I don't think every country is perfect. I don't think any country is perfect for the elders, not even ours. But, you know, I think that those who take better care of their elders, there's less abuse of those elders. And it just, I guess it depends on the country, but, like, some elders have more power than others, depending on what country you're looking at. But in the United States, ever since we've started dumping our parents and grandparents into nursing homes, well, for one, I promised myself I'd never put my fiancé's mom in a nursing home. Although, since my parents did what they did, I'm not going to deal with them because they've got 2 sons, and one of them just got married 2 Saturdays ago, and I wasn't even invited to the wedding, so... Yeah, I wasn't even given enough notice about it, so,
You yourself were put into a guardianship, too, and you were, 20? Mm-hmm. How old are you, 20-something? How old are you?
I was 17 when the guardianship was appointed for me, and now I'm 31 years old, and this has been going on do the math.
Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because you were blind, right?
Basically, because I was blind, and then my parents they lied about any emotional or mental issues I might have had. They continued abusing me. They were verbally and emotionally abusing me even before this came about. And I honestly have to agree that it was about being a fan of the Backstreet Boys. And I was taunted and mocked by my mom, dad, and private schoolmates. And not only did they waste all their money sending me to private school instead of figuring out how they're going to let me have a meaningful career, they just put me on the bottom of the social scales. I believe they might have committed medical fraud on me, and now I know the name of their attorney that they work with. I would love to plaster that woman's name all over a billboard, whoever she is.
Do you think you were targeted?
I think I was targeted because I was blind.
Yeah.
You're not blind anymore? Are you still blind?
I was born blind and I'll always be blind, and that's the problem. I've had to adapt to my blindness, and not only was I targeted because of blindness, but because my parents didn't want to have any responsibility for their own actions.
Oh.
And not
You've
just
been
that.
Hurt so much.
Yeah,
right.
It's like they just didn't want to have any responsibility for their own actions. It's like, oh, so we and maybe they might have targeted me because I had a talent that they didn't have and they were jealous.
Did
so
they
got guardianship for revenge.
They did isolate me. And you're
can
you
tell
me? 17 years old. What is up with that?
Can I ask you something? About,
sorry, Marcy.
Can you tell me the symptoms of isolation? What does it feel like being isolated? Can you tell us that?
Okay. I'll be able to tell you. Now, I may not be 80 years old in telling you this, but when I was isolated, one of the biggest things you notice is you don't know anything. You are lost in time. It's like, for one thing, my guardians prevented me from seeing people outside of family. Then they would repeatedly ground me for calling a certain boy that I liked, and they claimed that I called him 40 times when that wasn't true at all. And I bet Judge Judy would say the same thing. It's not true. She didn't call him 40 times, if I may do an accented impression of Miss Judy, but not only was I grounded repeatedly, all those repeated groundings resulted in suicidal thoughts and ideations. The feeling like there was nothing there for me, and, oh, God, I'm trying to think of what other symptoms I had. I became very angry, manic.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
I can't.
I'll let it go.
I'll let it go
this time. That's good.
Thanks. I do apologize.
But you know what?
It was anger.
I looked up words for isolation, and it talks about, being separated from loved ones. It talks about, being irritated.
I feel
left alone. How could this be? How could this happen to anybody? And here you are, 17 years old, and. I think about that as horrible, but think about the parents that are 80, 90, 95 years old. I have no way I can talk to my mom right now. She's 92 years old in a wonderful nursing home, and the joy on her face when she sees her family members is I can't explain how wonderful that feels. Every time I see her, she cries when she sees me, and I hold her hand, and she sticks her tongue at me, and I love her, but how... I hear stories every day how people have not seen their parents for 4 years, 5 years. It makes me so angry. Mm-hmm. It really does. It should not be allowed. It shouldn't be allowed, period.
No, it shouldn't be. And I get that. And I would never do that to my fiancé's mom. We have an elderly grandmother who's living on her own, 91 years old with a pacemaker, and she's doing fine. I mean, Catherine gets all the right state services. She's doing her freaking thing. She's cooking. Every Thanksgiving dinner, we go to her house. She's got the turkey all laid out. She's the grandmother. She's the matron. I look up to her. And I don't want to see nothing happen to Catherine or Natalia because and then we recently had a scare with the cousin Myra. She got a pacemaker. Then she got a heart clog. And then, twice it was like, oh, my God, she's having a brush with death. And it's like, God, where is she going to be? And then, she was at Rose Hospital or whatever, and she got out. And then it's like, I'm just thinking to myself, my God, this family is very strong, and they keep going every day. But, no, they're not going
to
take a nursing home.
Beth, we have to keep going. Really, we have to be strong. Well, I want to thank you for
do.
Coming on this show. I'm going to move on.
Thank you. Okay.
We've got a whole bunch of people that want to talk here tonight. But
thank you
coming on and talking about how it felt to be in isolation, even at your age. Okay, so I want everybody to keep that in mind. That's a person of 30 years old, from 17 to 30 years old, that was isolated herself, which is a serious situation. Thanks, Beth, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lulu. Thank you.
You got it.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to move on to a 313 number. And, Hillary, I hope you're still with us, too. 313?
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm here. I do want to say, you know where else everybody gets isolated, right? In prison. And it's to force them into submission. That is why people get isolated.
Go ahead and explain that. Go ahead and explain that, if you could. Go ahead and explain
that. Well, when nobody comes to visit, it's just like being in prison. When no one comes to visit, you don't get any calls, you don't see anybody, you're being forced into getting along, being submissive, doing whatever they want you to do. And my mother is Ben's isolated by the court-appointed guardian, which we got rid of from following. I helped, and my brother helped. We went to two other wards hearings several times, and the guardian got sick of seeing us, so she just up and quit.
Oh,
she quit all three within like the same week, huh?
Did you get her back?
Within about the same week. No, we don't have her back. But I have now my mother has my sister as the guardian, and she was beaten up by my brother-in-law in my sister's home. So she was immediately removed.
Oh, my God.
And nobody will do anything. The judge won't do anything. It was brought up in court. And everybody says, well, if she's already been declared incompetent. But she she is competent. They declared her incompetent without any evidence at her first hearing, incapacitated.
Right.
And she passed tests, several tests. Even at a psychiatric ward of 9 days, she's passed.
Right.
That the guardian took her to. And
kind of sounds like Hillary's story and our story, you know, where you have a family member involved. You know, that's doing a lot of the disturbing of the family, but that's still no reason for them to isolate your parents. I mean, we went through 3.5 years with my mother being isolated, and that was some torture for my family.
Mm-hmm.
It was torture.
Yeah, but
well, I had 2.5 years, over 2 years of no contact me, and 17 people in my immediate family.
Yeah.
And my brother got jail time.
How much
got jail time.
How much did you pay for attorney fees to go in there and try to get your mom back? Because I know a lot of people put up a lot of money trying to do that.
I haven't. My brother has.
Yeah. Right. It's usually out of their estate, which is meant for their golden years. It's not meant to be giving them money.
And that all comes out of all the other stuff comes out, which the GAL is supposed to be off the case as soon as a lawyer is appointed. But this GAL is still on there, and that is a law. Most of the things that they say in the court paperwork, they're laws. You have to look them up on the state website, and they are laws. And when you write something, you need to include the law codes. But my mother's also been on for over a year now, an antidepressant that is called a black-labeled drug, black-box-labeled. And that's makes her confused, along with the other medicine. And both of them make her confused, but it also makes them want to commit suicide.
Right, and that's another
thing.
It's medicating these elders or even anybody. You know, I mean,
it's not approved for people over 65.
Right. Geez. This is just angry.
Yeah,
and my sister's a nurse practitioner. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Right.
This is her field. She knows exactly the mental. She worked for
neurologists.
And she tested people. She knows exactly what she does. She knows gaslighting. She knows everything.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
insane. And I'm like, what is that? You know, I'm like, I went into court thinking myself that we were going to get justice myself. It never happened. In fact, I talked to everybody on the streets. I talked to everybody. I'm actually getting me a T-shirt talking about it. So when I go into a store, they can ask me, hey, what is that about, you know? Because it's important.
Yeah, that's
that
what I was thinking about, too.
No, yeah, people know.
T-shirt. I talk about it to everybody.
Right. That, do you go and do that? Do you talk to people everywhere you go and say, don't get no trust, don't get no wills, don't get your mom into guardianship, you know?
I do know I saved the guy because our police, our fire chief knew what I was going through. And when he was in the nursing home, they said, well, his brother and son doesn't want to help him. We're going to take him and get power of attorney through the courts. And she said, no, don't do it. So he's mad at her, but she saved him from going into guardianship.
Oh, awesome. See, that's the stories I like to hear, is that we have to get it out there. We have to get the words out there to people because, you know, I talk about it even, you know, I probably talk about this in my sleep. I mean, it's so bad because sometimes I cannot sleep. It is one of the most disturbing things that I have ever had to reckon with. I mean, especially having a website and having a group name. And people call you and they talk to you and they say, what can I do? They're taking my mom. They're taking her money. They're taking our inheritance. I hear this all day long. And you're like, well, you know, you have to go pro se, and sometimes they don't listen pro se, and sometimes they do. It just depends on where you're at.
And pro se is so difficult. You know, it's difficult. You can't work, you can't do anything. All you can do are your court documents, and it's almost like they want you to do pro se so that they can dismiss the case because you'll miss one minute detail, and that's it. But the end of the story is, and it really isn't the end, but the laws should be followed. The statutes should be the golden rule, and they are not. Everywhere.
Right. I forgot.
It's not only in Florida, it's everywhere. And it is, and you can't say boo. You cannot question the decision.
I forgot to say something about the laws.
Uh-huh.
This comes
ahead.
From a friend of mine that works in this for the state, for the government.
Right.
The laws have no penalty. There's no bite to them. There's nothing to do. They may pass a law, and you're not going to get time or anything. There's no penalty.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because I know in Colorado they have all these laws, but there's nothing that indicts these people. There's nothing that puts these people in jail. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, which we're going to try to change.
And right,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Well, isolation is illegal. That's a crime.
Hold on one
second. Isolation is a crime.
It's a crime.
Yeah, but no one's being held accountable for isolating people. No one's being accountable, and yes, there are good ones, but, you know, the good ones, a lot of them are disbarred.
The right judge will. And in my case, this
but
judge,
not everyone gets
I think,
the right judge.
This
right.
new judge, I think he has a heart. And, you know, he's the ruling has been violated. He even asked
right.
them, are you going to cooperate? And I have so many emails every time I respectfully and decently try to coordinate a visit that I have coordinated visits face-to-face with my mom. You know what? They answer back ridiculous. And I tell
yeah.
you that I have a slew of them, and that judge is going to have it in front of his desk.
And I think Marcy, what's good too is that the other lady suggested that you put in some case law that needs to be put in. I think we'll go ahead and research the Florida laws that they have about isolation. I think you're absolutely right on that. And I think I'm just gonna let all of our listeners know. I think it's a brilliant idea because I remember I wanted to take some people to the bar and they said make sure you have case law that talks about what they violated in your complaint. I actually agree
yeah.
with that. And I think, and that is
yeah.
a very powerful statement that you just said on there. It's an
yeah.
excellent idea. It really is. So,
well,
I think they use
it when the guardian ad litem writes up her paperwork, and she actually is giving you the law codes. You just have to
right.
go from there, whatever they put in their paperwork.
Right.
And
you know,
make
I
that.
They can't. They don't
I have
really
some of them.
You have to direct the court what you want them to do. You have to go in there and say, this is what I want the court to do. I want the court to penalize these people on code so-and-so and so and so-and-so and so. Because otherwise they're going to just throw up their hands and say, okay, what do you want me to do about this? I've seen that happen before, and give it a try. You know, that's all I can say. To try everything you can in these courts. But if anybody has a success story on how they got their mother back or anything they can do to improve the system, or anybody can do anything about what is going on with their elder abuse, guardianship abuse, probate fraud, I want to hear it on our show, because we want to start doing some really positive changes. And, you know, that it's necessary. We have to do positive changes, you know. But I'm going to keep you live on the air with me. I'm going to bring in another person. It's a 941 number. A 941 number. You're on the air with Face Us Advocates. Hello, 941. Anybody there? Okay, maybe not. 941. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. Okay, 941.
I heard something.
Hi there. Can you come back around to me? I do want to say something. I just can't at this second. I'm in the middle of something in a couple minutes. Can you come back to me? This is Kim.
Absolutely. I'll keep you live, and then when you're ready to jump in, just say, hey, I'm back, okay?
Awesome. All right, thanks.
Okay. So she's going to be coming back with us. They didn't say who they were, but I'll keep the lines open. So that way,
she said she was Kim.
Pardon?
Kim. That was Kim.
Her name is Kim.
Okay, cool. We'll keep the lines open when she wants to come back on. But I really appreciate everybody calling in and talking about this, because it is a very serious matter. And it's something that I get talked about a lot, too, on Facebook about the isolation. But I really think that I'm not, and I think you're right about that there's no laws out there that really put these people into prison, or they indict these people that are doing the harm. You know, I hope there's some laws that are put in there sooner, you know, rather than later about this, because if we were to start putting these in every state about putting a person in isolation, and these are court-appointed people. These are court-appointed people that have no idea what these families are about. They've never been there taking care of these elderly people like our own family members have. These are people no idea and don't care. I've seen them not care about people. And they put these people in there. It's like, what the hell are these courts thinking anyway?
Right. You know what someone said to me the other day? And it was someone who is familiar with guardianship. And she said to me, well, you know something, Hillary, these people, they're old people. They're not the best looking people. They're disabled. And maybe that's why people really don't care as much. And I said, I cannot believe that I just heard this. You know, it's like, what is going on?
That lady, yeah, boy, what the heck? You know?
And if I could just comment on the nice girl who called earlier. And she spoke about the Japanese culture. I'll remember my mother, who's been gone for 14 years. She always used to say that, I love the Asian community because they're so good to their elderly. And it's the truth. They would never think of putting their parents in a nursing home. When my father, the deal was this would be the last stop in his train, living with my children. And his court-appointed attorney, again, you've heard the story. He's going to go into a facility. He's got the money. It doesn't matter if he had $1 trillion. He wants to be here. But this, Americans are so geared just to, if you're over the age of 50, you're a has-been. Forget it. You know, they're
right.
They don't mean anything. But they don't realize, these people who are ignorant, what our parents and grandparents have done for this country. And they might be out of it mentally or physically a little bit, but you know what? They still have stories. They've still done stuff. And who the heck are these strangers or anyone else to belittle them and think that they don't have the capability to make decisions for themselves just because they're elderly? So as you said, it pisses me off every single day that I wake up, that I can't believe that this is happening in my country. And no one knows it until you're blindsided,
and it's too late. And no one can believe it. Well, there is a courthouse. They'll help you, you know. No. No one except the people who are unfortunately involved with this are going to get something done. We've got to band together, and we've got to do it. Because I don't want it happening to me.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
the media is important.
Right. Yeah, but it's hard to get media. It's hard.
I know it. I know it.
It's almost impossible.
Media? Yeah. That's why I turned into the media myself, because I wasn't getting it from our Channel 4 or Channel 31. And they came out with a senator, and they viewed all of our families, and they did not air any of the stories. I could not believe it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? The people, people are being kidnapped as we speak. There was a case, and I don't even know if I've mentioned it before, but one of the cases that I looked at in Port Charlotte, it was the same court-appointed attorney that my dad had, but that means nothing. But it was a motion to the court from the person to be allowed to go to church on Sunday. And I don't know why that just punched me in the head, that this elderly person had to ask the court if they could go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Even if I were an atheist, I would say, there's something wrong with that picture. You know?
Right. Yeah. I had that with my mom, you know. My granddaughter was walking at the time, and we couldn't call my mom to, you know, say, guess what, Mom, your great-granddaughter's walking. We couldn't even talk about it. I couldn't even call my mom up, and these people all knew my mom was in isolation, and they helped her. They did not help us get my mom back. We did that. My other sisters and brothers helped me get her back.
This is Kim from 941.
Okay,
interject. Yes. Earlier, and I don't know why I wasn't able to, no one could hear me, but someone mentioned ADA, and I want to make a point about that. Anybody that's in a guardianship has a disability, and the Americans with Disability Act, or ADA, says clearly, it states that if that person has a disability and they have written advance directives, which would be a power of attorney, a healthcare surrogate, any type of pre-planning documents or advance directives, the ADA is very clear, and it says that an outside guardian cannot be appointed. So I'm bringing this up because there was a gentleman, and he's passed away since, who is very knowledgeable with the guardianship and how it violated ADA. And I had this person connected me with an attorney that was going to do an ADA lawsuit. And this attorney, unfortunately, was like many of the other attorneys. This attorney was from Texas, and she took $7,000 from me to do this ADA lawsuit. So I have 16 pages. Of course, I can't file that, and I'm not an attorney, and I can't do it pro se. But I just wanted to let everybody know out there, and our mom had advance directives. She had durable power of attorney. She had a will. She had healthcare surrogate. But it's not worth the paper it's written on. And I tell all my friends, they say, that'll never happen to me because I already, you know, I made sure I have all the paperwork. I said, I bet not. But I just want to let everybody know if they have or their loved ones have advance directives, durable power of attorney, et cetera, with their loved ones' express wishes, and a outside individual comes in that's not listed on those documents, that there is a violation of the ADA, and that is a lawsuit. But the hard thing is, like most victims, like with me, the guardian still has the assets of the estate, so we have no money and we have no attorney that will present our lawsuit. But I just wanted to be clear that ADA, these people that are in guardianships, their ADA rights have been violated, and there's lawsuits there, and it's just coming to light. So if anyone actually wants a copy, there's a woman by the name of Sherry Johnson out in Texas.
Sherry Johnson.
You may know. Okay.
I do.
Well,
I want it.
Yeah,
I'm
right. Anyone that wants
Johnson
it can. I'll send you. I'll put my email out here for you, and I'll send you her complaint. But it is very, very thorough, and it talks about the ADA violations. But bottom line, in a nutshell, is what I want to tell everybody is if they have advanced directives, and their loved ones are being cared for outside guardians or individuals that are not on their loved ones' advanced directives, that's a violation because these people are disabled. If you're in a guardianship, you have a disability, and there's very strict black and white statutes and laws that say what can and cannot be done to a disabled person. And
right,
and I appreciate you.
And it's still done, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I would love to have that information because the court-appointed attorney prepared a power of attorney for my mom in advance directive when I went for guardianship, her only daughter, during incapacitation, and had her sign it in my mother's apartment without an interpreter.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did your mother have advance directives before the court-appointed attorney did that?
She did. My mother had a will done with my dad.
Not a will, though. Did she have a durable power of attorney with your name on it or a health care surrogate?
No. No, but on all the doctors, I was the only one in the name, and then they changed it. However, if it's done during incapacitation, the first judge said that it would not be valid, and it was not another way of guardianship, and she redid it.
Let me just say one thing. If you're in Florida, and I don't know other statutes in other states, in Florida, it says an outside individual shall not be appointed if there is a family member that's capable of doing the job. So I don't know if you're in Florida. If you are, that would make everything in your favor. But what I was specifically saying is, you know, if your mom had your name or somebody's name on there and those advance directives were not adhered to, that's a violation
of ADA.
But
that was done without my knowledge. It was done without my knowledge. The court-appointed attorney, when I went for guardianship, did it behind my back. And I'm her only daughter.
That's another issue. And if you're in Florida, the statute says an outside outside person cannot be appointed. But that's different from what I'm talking about, the violation of the ADA. Are you in Florida?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So if you look up the guardianship statutes, it says very clearly if there is a family member, an outside individual shall not. It doesn't say should not. It says shall not be appointed. But again, I'm talking to you as a victim who had our names in the advance directive, and it didn't matter anyways. But what you need to focus on is not the ADA. You need to focus on that what the statute says, if there is a capable family member, which you sound like a capable family member, an outside guardian cannot be appointed.
Okay. That's nice to know. And the ones who have her are isolating her. So
what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a hold of
you. I see my mom walking through my door.
I'm going to get a hold of you and get you in touch with Sherry also, and maybe you can discuss this before you go to court in August. Yes. That would really help you.
Oh, my God. That answer a lot of questions, too.
Yeah, it really does.
And I would recommend that you just look up. It's on the Florida Bar website. You can Google guardianship statutes Florida, and you can find right there where it says if there's a capable family member, an outside guardian shall not be appointed.
There we go. Well, I'm going for guardianship of my mother, and I'm going for conservator, and I'm also going because she has been isolated. No matter how many times she said she wanted to see me, she was even stalked to the Burger King when we decided to have the luncheons away from their house. one of the isolators stopped my mother and harassed me in the middle of Burger King. Okay?
Right.
So that's how bad, putting my mother in the middle. Okay? And that,
right.
And the other isolator is trying to cover up her brother. So neither one of them are doing what's right for my mother. And that's my mother, and I'm going for her. So if they're listening, let her go.
Yeah, right, if they're listening. And we ask everybody that is isolating or they're not even aware of it, please don't do that. It's just not right because these are our elderly parents, and we need to look out for them. We don't need to harm them, and we don't need to use them as a weapon against family members. That is a no-no. And all that's the thing I get the angriest about is that I had a family member that did that. I had two of them in my family that isolated my mom, you know, and it was wrong. We got her back. But I tell you what, it was not easy. And going through our court system is definitely not easy. It is a nightmare. And it costs a fortune, too. It really does. And there's absolutely no guarantee you'll ever get your parent back. You won't get her money back. There's absolutely nothing guaranteed whatsoever you will go to court because they're set up to be profitable, you know, to whoever goes to court. You know, they make a lot of money doing that, you know. But
there's something really wrong when you go to protect your own parent and take me out of the equation. When anyone goes to protect their own parent because they're displaying signs of dementia and Alzheimer's, that if that's a good judge, he would see that. And if that attorney from the court was a good attorney, she would see that. So
right.
The problem is that if they're not seeing that and they are refusing to really grasp it and then take it away from them, that to me is they took something away from her and they took my inheritance away. And yet, listen, they would be taking good care of her, but they're not. Take me out of the equation. That's dead wrong. That, to me, would even let a five-year-old, hey, somebody's doing something to my mommy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, oh, dang, they take our parents, they take our inheritance, they take everything away from us. What the
heck?
So
angry. I am over the downside, and I'm over my sadness and depression. God has made me stronger.
My family lost
when we have to make a move.
We were forced off the property. We were forced off the property we had 120 antique cars on our property. Okay, so we were forced off of the property with about 75 or 80 of them left. We had to get them off the property. And then everybody was thrown out of the houses by the court system. But does that don't piss you off? I don't know what will.
Exactly. I don't know how you move on after something like that happening. But you know something I just thought of? None of the people, I don't know why it just clicked, but does everyone agree? None of the people that I have dealt with, my attorney included, no one is kind in the probate and the guardianship. They're all cold. Because I guess they have to be.
I haven't seen too many kind ones except for my sister and I. I mean, that's about all I know of.
No, I mean, no one was kind. No one was the understand all this and that. Because they're all shysters and they're all trying to get our money. And that is their common goal. And it's well orchestrated.
Well, you can throw a little ADA on them. You know, because I saw that in court. I go, aren't you aware of America's Disability Act? What's it called, ADA? And she flips out. Her, she started shaking, that woman.
Well, I'm getting some feedback, so I'm muting some of these lines because I'm getting some terrible feedback. But I just want to let everybody know that I'm not pushing you out of there just because I can, because I have to get rid of the interference in the background. So if you're not talking on the phones with us, make sure you mute yourself, and that'll stop, you know, from any interference coming on through the lines, because these shows are aired. They're national aired. You can also go on to the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio, and you can see all the shows that we've done. I think we're up to like 120 episodes that we've done on all kinds of subjects. But you can go on there anytime and you can share them. You can listen to them. You can do whatever you want with those. I give them to you. Anyway, gosh, this has been a pretty good show tonight. If anybody wants to call in and get into the roundtable discussion, the way you do that is you dial 845-241-9962. Again, 845-241-9962, and you press a 1, and that will raise your hand, and that way I will be able to get you on to talk about the isolation of our elders. And what can we do about it as a nation? It's so important that we never give up on this topic. And like I say, I was just in touch with the nursing home that my mother-in-law was in, and I think the governor voted this man that was in charge of our nursing home. He actually gave him a number one position of it being in care of the elderly in many other nursing homes, which is incredible because this man knows what he's doing with them about teaching other people how to be nice to our elders. I just wanted to put that word out there that I'm excited for that, that happened. Let's see if there. I think this is another 239 number. Let's see if there's a 239 number. I'm not sure if I answered this one or not. 239?
Yes, Luann. Hey, it's Kelly.
Good. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
How
I just wanted to, you know, you're touching on isolation, and
right.
It kind of made me think of segregation. And that's kind
yeah.
of like how I feel, like the discrimination and kind of that, you know, as Hillary was talking about, you know, we're isolated now. You know, you don't have to be
right.
the ward to be isolated, but, you know, it's kind of like we're segregated from the rest of the world and we're discriminated against. So I think many of us feel very alone, you know, in
no,
this
you
battle,
know
you know.
I didn't even think about that, Kelly, because I remember – you know, when you bringing that up, I kind of felt the same way in my family because we were kind of just like, what do we do here? I mean, are we the only people? What's going on here? But you do feel like that. I'm glad you brought that up because it is
and
very
And I think
important.
Shame. And it's not – I know that, you know, like when you're a victim of rape or something like that, you have this sense of shame that you can't talk about it. And I know that, like Hillary always says, we haven't done anything wrong, and we haven't. But there's this sense of, I can't talk about it, you know, that you're almost, you're silenced because, you know, nobody knows about this. And are people going to understand? And they're not. They're not going to understand unless they've lived it or unless we do more to put it out there to make it more real, to show that, you know, what this is really doing. I watched an episode of Whistleblowers, and at the end
right.
of it, years later, the family is sitting there in tears, and what it's done to them, you know, their childhood, what it's doing to my children, what it's doing to Kim's children, Hillary's children, everybody's children. I mean, we're all being impacted by this. It's the entire family that's being affected. And I mean, so this is a huge problem because it spans beyond the ward of the court. It affects all of us.
Yeah, and it is basically we are all being isolated too, especially when you get a gag order on. I know some family members that were put onto a $5 million gag order if they talked about their brother in isolation. Some were $2 million, some were $1 million.
I have a cease and desist. I have a
right.
cease and desist and a protective order. You know, so that's one way of them, you know, trying to silence you. You know, and at first it really scared me, you know, what could potentially happen. But now I realize it's kind of a scare tactic. You know, so it's very difficult.
Yeah. Right. And you know what? I don't think anyone's going to really scare me too much about speaking because I'll go around in circles with everybody because I'm still going to speak out no matter where I'm at. It's wrong. What is going on in our rooms? And you're right. You're right, Kelly, that we are being targeted just like the isolated elders. And you heard Beth come on. She was being isolated when she was 17 years old and she was blind. No, that's not right either. None of this is right. But you are exactly right about that because I felt that with my sisters when we were all going through this. Like, what? Why? We couldn't even talk about things that were going on because I was shocked it was even happening at first. Like, how could this be going on? I mean, how?
And I think
how,
the more you get it out there, the more, you know, it's more socially acceptable to talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
At this point in history, we're not there yet. You know, because people are still saying, does that really happen? you know, oh, that's an isolated incident. You know, talking about isolation,
right.
It isn't. It's in our case, in Collier County, in the 20th District, in your state, it's an epidemic. You know,
that's
just because it hasn't happened to you, it could, and it, you know, more people are going to be impacted, you know, every day.
Yeah, and
yeah,
you know,
it'd be great that you have this show to talk about it.
I talk about
you
it as
know,
much as I can. And if you have a good topic to talk about, let me know. Just let me know, and we'll talk about it, because we have to keep doing this. I mean, we have to keep it up, period.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to stop. Never. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You brought a good point, because you made me think my mother is being isolated from seeing her daughter, and she's a victim, but I'm also a victim because I'm being deprived from going to my mother's home and seeing her, in spite how many times she has told the courts that she wants a relationship with her daughter and that she loves me and I've never done anything wrong. What she says doesn't matter to these isolators. So, you know, you're right. My mom is not the only victim. We're also victims of this abuse.
Now, we are victims of isolation. I mean, that is a huge, oh my gosh. This show brought out so much stuff. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, just
you know what it kind of reminds me? It reminds me of, it takes me right back to like child custody, because when I was reading Hillary's story, and Hillary and her sister were sharing custody, and it was like Hillary has her father 2 weeks, and then the sister has the father 2 weeks, and I'm like, I mean, what is he getting his backpack on? He's 90 years old, and he's being shuffled around, you know, like he, you know, and it's like this shouldn't be happening. We all need stability. It's crazy.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Can
I can hear you.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You know what? If I could just say two things, and yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And the older people get, the less change that they want. My dad didn't want to go back and forth. But, you know, the isolation, it's more than evident. I don't speak to anyone. Honestly, I speak to my two boys, young boys, my dad and Kelly and Kim. That is it. That is it. We have given up our lives gladly to fight the corruption that's going on, and we feel guilty. I feel
But our children have
children.
Given up their lives too. Our children have given up their lives in a sense. You know,
and you know something, and in the end they'll respect us, but people don't realize what we're going through, and I'll do it again tomorrow and again and again and again. It's my choice, but I have given up everything to show the world what is happening. And I always say the same thing. It's not for my dad. It's for Kelly and her children and her son that was taken away from her and is in heaven now. It's for Mom, everyone out there. People have to know that this is illegal, what's going on. This is criminal. This is corruption. And it's just, I don't know why people can't get their mind around it. I just don't know. But we need media, and we need, and again, we're fighting. That's all we do. This is our lives down here in Collier, the three of us. We do everything. We're on the phone. We're doing everything that we possibly can gladly for everyone. But we need help.
Those elderly people and our families, thank you for doing that, because, you know, if we all don't stick together, this is going to get worse. Our next generations are in huge trouble. They already are, but it's going to get worse. It really is, you know. And it's like my granddaughter will tell me, she'll sit there and say, Grandma, are you talking to another victim? I'm saying, yes, another victim.
My 9-year-old will say, Mom, you know, Mom, are you talking to someone that was in guardianship jail? And I'll say, well, you know, that one of their parents. But our kids are well-versed, but no one should go through this. No one should go through this because there are laws.
Nobody should be.
I have some grandchildren that don't know my mother.
Right.
They don't.
Oh, geez.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because they haven't been allowed to see her?
They have not been allowed to see her.
Oh, does that make you piss? That pisses me off. That pisses me off worse
would
than
want,
anything.
Yeah, it makes you want to kill. It really does. It's insane.
Just imagine what their karma is going to be. Because God deserves that.
It's here. It's here now. I believe that the karma has begun, you know, and it's going to play out in the next month and the month after, and we will get to live to see it. I rest assured, I know that, you know, it is coming for sure.
It's a good time.
And I think
you know
they'll keep up radio shows, too. And I think a few ladies were talking earlier that they're going to start up some radio shows on our channel, too. So I think
we are, yes.
Yeah, we're starting one, yeah.
And Kelly,
is a great Warriors and Whistleblowers is a great name, you guys. I mean, I would jump
you
on
like
that.
You like it? Good.
That's
right.
A good one.
That's what you guys' name ought to be. I give it to you today, and I tell you what, you guys are Warriors and you're Whistleblowers, hardcore, and I'm glad you guys are with us. I'm serious.
Any ethical good attorneys that really care for the elderly, you guys let me know because I will be glad to share it. Okay?
Right.
And Facebook.
Ooh, right now I got nothing.
I've got another caller I'm going to bring on the air, and it's an 843 number. We're going to bring an 843 on the air. 843?
Hi, Lulu.
Lulu,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead.
Hello.
You're joined up. You're live on the air.
Okay. This is Melissa from Charleston.
Uh-huh.
And Melissa. I was just, hey.
Oh, my gosh. I love you. Melissa.
I was just calling to say that my dad got a conservatorship. But
did he get
the
out of
thing
it?
Is, completely out of it.
Oh, no
we
way.
Don't know what happened. Someone scared them. I don't know if it was Rick Black, because he made some phone calls.
Yo, Rick.
The next week, they were trying to find the lawyer. They were saying, we'll bring the check to y'all. Please, just give them the money and let them go away. Now, you would think that they would, we always thought that when this happened, we'd be jumping for joy or so happy. But we felt like we were in a concentration camp because it was like we were let out of this, I don't know, of this hovering sadness, and we didn't know what to do with it. You know, it's like we were looking at each other, is this really happening? You know, are we really free? And I was like, okay, now I'm going to get the best sleep ever. I'm still having the nightmares. It's so bad, but I talked to someone today that said it's going to get better. But, you know, we've been out of it for like 2 weeks now. And we still are just like, we don't know what to do with it. Because, you know, we have fought for over almost 2 years now.
Just think, Melissa, what would happen if you did not fight? You know?
Yeah.
They have you out there. I mean, your dad, and I tell you, your relatives, you know, are looking at you thinking, hey, man, you know, thank God we spoke up. Okay? Thank God. You know? Look what happened now. See? Now, the next question is, are they going to give you back any of that money?
Well, oddly enough, we got most of it back.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Holy.
Yes. I think it's because it's not that far gone as y'all's case. You know, and y'all's state is so bad. We still have chance.
How did you get the money back, though?
We don't know. We went to National Action Network. And there's this man, he's a wonderful man. Everybody hates him, that if you're corrupted, he is not the one that's going to hold his tongue. And that's what you need in this. You need someone to help you fight, because sometimes you got to tag out. This becomes
emotional.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's supposed to be, well, National Action Network is nationwide. But we this particular man. Yeah, it's with Al Sharpton. And
I know Al.
Okay, right. Yeah. This particular guy, he fought, and, you know, because they bragged about what they were going to do to Dad, you know, along the way, we knew that it was like do or die. Like, we don't care if we die in the midst of this. We have to just fight all we can. But,
definitely.
You know, one of the things that I think that we need, and someone mentioned it, I think, last week about going to Washington. But we need, I don't understand why no one, everybody is just like, even when I talk to people, they can't get it. They don't get it.
They don't get it.
And we can't, I can't find out that niche yet.
Right.
And you talk about the isolation. One of the ladies, the first time I met her, she mumbled, and I just by accident heard her say, I said, he's capacitated. She said, give him 6 months. I was like, give him 6 months.
Ooh.
What are you talking about? And Dad started the depression, the chronic stress will do that to you. And he, when they served him one day with court papers, he was changing the oil on my mom's car, not having a problem. We were talking. And all of a sudden, after they gave him the court papers to show up to court again, he couldn't remember how to put the oil in. So you got to realize that it's not so much that these people are necessarily incapacitated. It's by what probate court and all these guardian items are doing, you know, that are making these people like that. And it's so
and the
sad.
Stress. How
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's doing much better. He's making jokes now, you know. He's
tell
like,
him,
I'm so glad you're out of this.
Yeah, tell him he's a champion, you know. Good for him. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, but then, you know, you don't feel happy because you think of all those other people like y'all that have not gotten out of this because I'm still not out of the fight because I'm still writing people. I don't know how to stop because it's just like, I can't let this happen to another person if I can stop it.
Thank you, yeah.
So,
Yeah, I think
I'm
just
glad Dad got his money back. Yeah,
and that's how change is going. It's going to keep occurring because we are snowballing with this. Unfortunately, our parents are the targets, and we are victims ourselves because we are hurt. We are wounded. It feels like I feel like I've been punched in my stomach. And I've been a product of being abused, like just like our parents, just like you have. But instead of giving in to that, I'm taking all that pain and I'm putting it into being positive like we all are. We're doing good works. Every time I see somebody, I tell them, stay away from probate court, Broward County Court.
you stay away from everything.
Because, and I tell them and I educate them and I tell them to come to the show and listen. I have people now in Washington, D.C. I have people in Sarasota and I have people all over Miami at the beach across my mother's ex building where she lived in her beautiful apartment. I have people listening all over the place and you educate. And that's what God has planted this seed on all of us. And this is how we're going to get it done. And you don't give up. You don't let me see my mother.
No.
You send me a nasty letter. It's going to go in front of the judge. End of story. I am not going to stop. That's, you know, and you shouldn't stop or anybody that's listening because I was pretty wounded before the show. And let me tell you something. All of us being put together, it's been a good support group. We've learned more about how to target. And every show, we're making progress. Every show, we get smarter. Every show, we know what to do or hear a law. It's snowballing, and that's what we need to do.
Right. Let me bring in a 480 number. 480 number, you're with us live.
Hi, Lulu. It's Linda. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Linda. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? I was just listening. Hi, Marcy, and your caller.
Hi.
I did not catch. And Robin, hi. I did not catch Hi. Let me take you off a speaker here. I did not catch the lady's name, but Robin, I have Robin, Lulu, and Marcy. I need to send you, and then you can get it out, post it on your Facebook, and distribute it to others. I received a blog this week from a geriatric physician in California. Her topic this month was on financial exploitation of the elderly.
Okay.
I think number one, it is one of the best blogs, articles about financial exploitation from a physician standpoint I have ever seen, and I think maybe you might want to invite her on the radio.
Yes.
Number two,
yes.
She
yes.
had input and has a podcast that's linked there from an attorney. That's a nice
oh,
one out of California.
Nice one.
That was giving
oh.
us some background information. But number three, and this is what also and really I want to share with everyone tonight that's listening, gave the definition from the CDC, the Centers of Disease Control, the definition of elder abuse, elder isolation, physical, emotional, psychological abuse, which when you read it in the articles or go on the website of the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and look it up, any of us that are technically considered an elder, and it all relates to whatever state you're a resident of, it's according to your state laws. I'm in Arizona, it's 60. Some states are 65. Some states are 62, some states are 55. But here's the key.
Uh-huh.
If we have been isolated and psychologically abused because of what they've done to us by isolating us from our parents and the trauma we have been and still are going through fighting for them, we also now are a victim. So we have a double fight that we can go after them
Woo!
On.
Oh, awesome.
You following me?
Yeah.
This
oh,
is
yeah.
a
yep.
whole different legal angle that
Woo!
I've shared this with Rick and a few others,
Woo!
And we are starting to dig into this because this could possibly bring a whole new angle that's going to really get us some big attention. This
animal
every single baby boomer.
Awesome. I'm
well,
going to go forward with that, you know, because okay. I don't mind what.
Can
we
you
are
please
big.
Send me that? Can you, I'm going to text, attach
I'm
it
I'm
going to
get it over to Lulu and let Lulu send it out, okay? That's what's the best
sure
news I got. Yeah.
This is
yeah.
the best news, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I will put it all over Facebook and to everybody. So just look for my page. It's Families Against Court Embezzlement. Unethical Standards Face Us. We also have a Faces going up in Texas. We're going to start one up in Florida. So we've got some good stuff going on, you know, guys. But this is good news,
oh,
Linda.
Yeah.
Good, Melissa. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. This is really
Oh, my
thrilling.
God.
All right. I'm going to send it on to you right now. And I want to also, before I let others come on board, let all of you know, you haven't heard from me for a while because I've been so slammed with my own case, but also I've been working tremendously behind the scenes on some of the national media story angles, and I just want to let you know we are still working feverishly, and we have some things in a very rough format that hopefully
right.
we're going to be able to reach out soon because we're going to need everybody's help. We are planning a massive, massive combined media
oh.
campaign.
Oh,
okay.
All the
oh,
sounds phenomenal.
I'm connected with the media, so you send it to me.
It's going to be as simple as all you have to do is follow the instructions because it will be consistent, concise, everybody on board. We will have this so orchestrated
And we want it to hit with this election cycle because we're going to be absolutely getting in the faces of the people who are running because this we want to be a national issue. Okay. So as soon as we have it in the place that we can share it with you, we will. But in the meantime, please just recognize if this gives anybody a little bit of extra energy and hope and faith, recognize God has been working very hard. So thank you, okay? And Amy and I've been wanting to call you about this, but I couldn't find your phone number.
I'll get you I'll call you. Okay.
You call me later. So I'm going to get off. I'll be listening, but let somebody else contribute tonight. So
thank
God bless
you, so
you
much
all.
For everything you're doing.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so
God
bless. You're
God,
welcome.
Awesome.
I can I just say one? Can I say one last thing? Can I say one
girl
last thing?
Power, you guys. Girl power.
Girl power.
Girl power.
Can I
go
say
ahead
one last thing?
Absolutely.
Yes.
One of the people that I know in guardianship, when she got her mother into guardianship, as told by the hospital, there were three other people that were petitioning right after she did it. Three other people trying to get guardianship over her mother, and they did not even contact her.
Oh, my God.
And
you
God
only know that by checking the dockets.
Right. Contact
That's
me, you guys. Contact me on Facebook, Luann Fleming. You'll see me on there, LuannFleming. And if any of our isolators are out there listening, please free our parents. Free our loved ones. Quit stressing us
I
out.
I would think
please
that it would be easier for them to do that than handle the fight because it sounds like everything is like turning upside down for all isolators. They're breaking a lot of laws.
Right.
And we're being victimized by being our parents. Okay?
Yeah.
So they should just mind their own business with their own mothers and leave our mothers alone.
Absolutely. Hillary, you're right on, Marcy. I loved having you as a co-host tonight, Marcy. I love you. I mean, my heart just pounds when I hear you working hard to help. Hillary, are you still with us?
Yeah, of course I am. It was a fantastic show.
It's always a pleasure working with you.
I'm so glad to have you as a friend.
Oh, thank you so much. And you know what? Melissa, oh, my gosh, you're bringing some great news from Charleston. That is
thank God.
Awesome,
her father's
awesome,
free.
Awesome sauce, okay?
But I am still in the fight, just so y'all know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Melissa, Kelly, Tim. I mean, there's so many people that called in tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I can say. I mean, these shows are getting very exclusive. The artist came up with some great news. I'm going to be getting some journalists on also on our shows. If you know anybody that wants to come on and co-host with us, or if they want to do their own show, or they want to contribute anyway, I'm here. Call me on Messenger. You can get me at Luann, LuANNE, at faceus.org. Send me a message if you want to tell your story on our show. We'll be glad to have you. We always want to acknowledge our elders or anybody that's in guardianship for profit. We hate that idea. It's disgusting. And it does traumatize the families. I can vouch for that. My family can vouch for that. And every one of your families can vouch for that. But, you know, like I say to every single show, absolutely, justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option. And that's what I know. Every single show is, look what happened tonight, you know. I am grateful to be doing this every Wednesday night. I might be getting some morning shows started up with another fellow guy that I know of. He's part of our group, and he says that he might be able to do some morning shows. So that might be interesting to do that, too. Mm-hmm. We also have families from Texas, Faces in Texas, and maybe in Florida. They're going to be starting up some shows on our channel, too.
Oh, yeah. We're doing that.
Right. Good. That's awesome. Okay, well, we're going to say goodnight to everybody.
Before you say goodnight, I just want to mention that the New Yorker did a huge article on how the elderly lose their rights, and I shared it. So I don't know if you saw it or not.
Yes, Marcy.
The New Yorker.
Facebook, right. You can find her on Facebook. But, yeah, any articles, anything that can help move this forward, and if you know any journalists that want to come on our show, get me in touch with them. I'll be glad to invite them to the show. I'm going to be working on that myself all week when I can. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning, you know. I ain't got no other time to do it but then. But I will keep in touch with everybody. Call me, write me, talk to me, whatever you want to do. Oh, gosh, thank you for another Blog Talk Radio show on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel. It's Face Us, the Insight Scoop with Marcy and Hillary Hogue tonight on elder isolation. But we're going to play The Last Regret. I'm going to play about halfway through, and that's a song by Charmaine Worley, who did a song about her mother, who was also freed from guardianship. And it's a 4-minute song, so if you can listen to it, it's beautiful. It brings tears to my eyes. But we're going to end the show with that. But I just want to say goodnight to everybody. This has been a wonderful show, some good information coming out. And let's keep it up, everybody. Okay?
Okay.
Good night.
Love
okay.
you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. May God be with you all.
Absolutely.
You too.
Uh-huh.
God bless.
Been lying here thinking about the day we met, the day forever was set, and how much time we've got left. I find myself crying my eyes out. I gotta make you believe in me without. Are too hard to forget. I'm gonna make it past my last regret.